Good morning and welcome to the Justice Report Weekend Review for May 19th to May 25th, 2024. This week, we'll take a look at some of the major incidents that have unfolded internationally, from the tragic loss of the Iranian president to ghastly changes in German domestic policy. Then we'll head to America, where a series of abhorrent crimes carried out by non-white suspects continue to rock the nation. But first, we'll be taking a look at a bombshell report that implicates Jewish billionaires in a shadowy plot to silence American citizens. While it sounds like something out of a movie, the story is 100% real. More on that next. This weekend, the contents of a leaked chat maintained by a group of Jewish billionaires have revealed a pressure campaign to force Black New York City Mayor Eric Adams into crushing the pro-Palestine encampment at Columbia University. A bombshell report by the Washington Post exposed the pressure campaign through thousands of leaked chat room messages first obtained by a confidential source with access to the chat. The chat was allegedly titled Israel Current Events, initially created after the events of October 7th by a staffer for billionaire and real estate magnate Barry Sternlicht. Its purpose was to, quote, change the narrative to favor Israel and air the alleged atrocities of Hamas to all American citizens. Among those named in the leaks are some of the wealthiest, most powerful men in America, largely Jewish, and include Daniel Lubetzky, Daniel Loeb, Len Blavatnik, Joseph Sitt, Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, hedge fund manager Bill Ackman, and Joshua Kushner, the brother of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Cypriot Israeli real estate billionaire Yakir Gabay was also present in the leaks. According to WAPO, the wealthy insiders offered Black NYC Mayor Eric Adams, who was also present in the chat, monetary incentives and other resources in order to greenlight a violent NYPD crackdown at Columbia. Lubetzky, Loeb, Blavatnik, and Sitt were said to have held a Zoom video call on April 26th with Adams, 1 week before the Columbia crackdown. The call contained offers of political donations to Adams, and one unidentified member insisting he could pressure Columbia's president and trustees to allow police on campus. Others offered to pay for a team of private investigators to assist the NYPD in their assault, which Adams had later accepted. The protests at Columbia would eventually lead to the brutal crackdown and mass arrest of over 100 American citizens for their criticisms of Israel. The paramilitary operation to crush the sit-in by force saw the use of siege towers, shields, batons, and other weapons. One officer even discharged his weapon on campus. According to the report, many of those present in the leaked chats maintained personal relationships with Israeli political figures and those close to the Israeli Defense Forces. Months prior to the crackdown at Columbia, members of the chat reportedly attended private briefings with Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, Benny Gantz, and Michael Herzog, Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Members of the group were said to have attended a private screening of the Israeli propaganda film Bearing Witness in New York City. Bill Ackman was named as having helped facilitate additional screenings at places like Harvard University, where it was widely promoted. Now, why does this matter? In response to the report by the Washington Post, New York City Deputy Mayor of Communications Fabian Levy, who is Jewish, claimed, "The insinuation that Jewish donors secretly plotted to influence government operations is an all-too-familiar anti-Semitic trope. Accusations of anti-Semitism are often used to stifle criticism of Jewish groups or individuals. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance working definition of anti-Semitism, which has been adopted by numerous political bodies, includes Accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group as a form of anti-Semitism. The leaked chat room is just the latest bombshell revelation tying powerful members of America's Jewish community to clandestine acts of political repression in a post-October 7th world. In April, a leaked meeting with Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt unveiled a comprehensive plan to wage political and financial lawfare against American universities that fail to rein in pro-Palestine protests on campus. During a site visit to New York's Columbia University, Greenblatt would join his fellow Jews in calling for Mayor Eric Adams to send in the NYPD or the National Guard to silence American citizens through force. In May, it was revealed that a bloody attack during a protest at California's UCLA was carried out by an active member of the Israeli Defense Forces. Despite committing what some have called attempted murder, no arrests have been made, shining a light on an apparent two-tiered criminal justice system for Zionist agents in America and those who oppose them. Up next, we're heading to Iran, where the tragic death of the nation's president has left people in mourning, and others pointing fingers at who or what is to blame.
In a tragic incident, Iran's president Ebrahim Raisi has been confirmed dead following a suspicious helicopter crash in a mountainous and forested area in northwestern Iran. The crash also claimed the life of hardline Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian. The helicopter went down in the Dizmar Forest, located between the cities of Varzakan and Yolfa in Iran's East Azerbaijan province. Severe fog and rain were said to have significantly hampered search efforts, leaving the helicopter missing for several hours after the crash. Vice President Mohammad Mokhber is set to assume presidential powers following Raisi's death. According to the Iranian constitution, the first vice president takes over presidential duties in the event of the president's death or incapacity, with an election to be held within 50 days. Foreign Minister Amir Abdollahian, an experienced diplomat instrumental in the recent rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, was among the notable officials who perished in the crash. Khamenei also declared 5 days of national mourning. Regional and international leaders have swiftly offered condolences, including several countries in the Middle East, which offered assistance in locating the downed helicopter. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi was an outstanding politician whose entire life was devoted to serving the motherland. As a true friend of Russia, he made an invaluable personal contribution to the development of good neighborly relations between our countries and made great efforts to bring them to the level of strategic partnership, said Russian President Vladimir Putin in a Telegram post. We have known His Eminence the Martyr President closely for a long time, so he was a great brother to us, a strong support, and a steadfast defender of our causes and the causes of the nation, foremost among them being Jerusalem and Palestine, and a guardian of the resistance movements and their fighters in all the positions of responsibility he held, read a statement by the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah. He exemplified a deep commitment to the welfare of his people and the dignity of his nation, which represents a proud and rich civilization rooted in the principles of Islam. His dedication to justice, peace, and the upliftment of the Ummah was truly inspiring. We committed ourselves to bolstering Malaysia-Iran relations, working together for the betterment of our peoples and the Muslim world. Our pledge will be fulfilled, read a statement by Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim. Iran and its allies have suffered a suspicious uptick in terror attacks, incursions, and international incidents since the events of October 7th, with many accusing Israel and other Western governments of foul play. In January, Zionist fingerprints were said to be all over a terrorist attack that killed 100 people at Soleimani's tomb. The bombing took place during a funeral commemorating the fourth anniversary of the assassination of revered commander Qasem Soleimani, just feet away from his final resting place. A subsect of ISIS, long suspected to be an armed proxy for Western intelligence agencies, claimed responsibility. In April, the Iranian consulate in Syria was obliterated by an Israeli airstrike, killing at least seven officials, including top Revolutionary Guards commander Mohammad Reza Zahedi and senior commander Mohammad Hadi Haji Rahimi. In the aftermath, Iran vowed revenge and launched a historic drone and missile attack against Israel itself. In March, Iranian ally Russia vowed death for death after a bloody terrorist attack in Moscow that left 140-plus civilians dead. The perpetrators of the attack, who were caught attempting to flee over the border into embattled Ukraine, were suspected to have been outsourced by Western intelligence agencies, despite ISIS once again claiming responsibility.
Did you know that rideshare driving is quickly becoming one of the most deadly professions in the United States? Our next story will examine one such fatality, where a driver was killed by a former policeman in Atlanta, Georgia.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 21st, 2024. Today's story. A disgraced black cop is arrested for killing a Lyft driver over a gay fraternity. Union City, Georgia. A black man has been arrested for the brutal gunshot murder of his Lyft driver. According to reports, the suspect was a disgraced Atlanta police officer who claimed his victim tried to kidnap and recruit him into a, quote, gay fraternity. Officer Kobe Miner of the Atlanta Police Department was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and murder after police say he opened fire on a black rideshare driver. Authorities arrived on the scene a little after midnight, where they found 35-year-old Reginald Folks of Atlanta dead from his injuries. According to reports, Folks, a black professional wrestler who drove for Lyft as a means to earn extra income, was driving Miner home at the time of the incident. Miner, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, was said to have worked as an Atlanta police officer since 2018, but immediately resigned after his murder arrest. The Atlanta Police Department released a statement about the former officer. Last year, Miner was placed on unpaid administrative leave after he allegedly crashed his car. During a search, responding officers found he may have been under the influence and in possession of around 20 Xanax pills. At the time of his arrest in Union City, Miner was on unpaid administrative leave after being arrested in Milton, Georgia, in December of 2023, the Atlanta police said in a statement. Miner was relieved of his department-issued firearm upon being placed on unpaid administrative leave. Since that time, the firearm has remained in the custody of the APD, it continued. An arrest affidavit asserts that Folks began to talk on a phone in a different language during the ride. Miner told authorities that he asked Folks to stop the vehicle, but instead continued to drive. Miner said he attempted to exit the vehicle during a red light, but when Folks turned around in his seat, Miner opened fire, shooting Folks in the head. Miner was then said to have broken the window and fled. A woman who approached the crime scene told detectives that she spoke to Miner, who was waving his arms in the air. Miner apparently told her that Folks was attempting to kidnap and recruit him into a so-called gay fraternity. According to Folks's family, the Lyft driver moved to the city to pursue an education at Clark Atlanta University and had recently started a career as a professional wrestler. I'm very proud of the man he became. Everywhere I went, people met him and enjoyed him. Marshall Folks said in an interview with 11 Alive, he always ran into people he knew. He was a friendly guy, very social. Reggie was pretty much the life of the party. He was my oldest, 35, she continued. I just talked to him on Mother's Day, and he had just talked to his brother for 3 hours. We are heartbroken about the entire thing. Union City, a former railroad junction in Fulton County, Georgia, is considered a thoroughly black region of the United States. According to the 2020 U.S. Census report, Union City residents make up a whopping 84% of the population, with whites a distant minority at only 4%. Black Americans employed in positions key to a functioning society often become implicated in particularly heinous crimes and other scandals. In 2017, black Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor shot and killed white 40-year-old Justine Damond, who approached his squad car after calling 911. Noor had been hailed as one of the first Somali-American police officers in the area, and for the crime of murdering a white woman in cold blood, would be sentenced to only 57 months behind bars. In April, a black cop in Indianapolis, Indiana, was arrested after he was accused of using his badge to solicit sex from numerous victims of crimes he had personally responded to. The officer, identified as 27-year-old Myron Howard, was charged with rape, official misconduct, and several other crimes. Just this month, a black police chief in Houston, Texas, was forced to resign after it came to light that, under his watch, over 264,000 incident reports had never been investigated. The shocking development would leave many to question the veracity of Houston's recent and widely applauded decrease in crime.
Up next, we'll be zooming in on the state of Israel and how its top leaders now face arrest warrants for a series of bloody actions in Gaza that have left the world outraged.
In a historic move, the International Criminal Court chief prosecutor announced on Monday that he is seeking arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and three leaders of Hamas. The ICC's pursuit of arrest warrants is independent of the ongoing case at the International Court of Justice involving allegations by South Africa that Israel has violated the Genocide Convention during military actions in Gaza. The ICJ, a civil tribunal distinct from the criminal-focused ICC, held its first hearing on this matter in January and issued provisional measures that Israel has largely ignored. ICC Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan had previously received a mob-style threat from U.S. politicians, namely from a gang of 12 Republicans led by Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton. In an official letter, the pro-Israel politicians warned of sanctions for Khan and his family, should he pursue the arrest of figures like Netanyahu. In a statement Monday, ICC Chief Prosecutor Karim A.A. Khan accused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant of conspiring to commit, quote, crimes against humanity, against the Palestinian people. On the basis of evidence collected and examined by my office, I have reasonable grounds to believe that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Yoav Gallant, the Minister of Defense of Israel, bear criminal responsibility for the following war crimes and crimes against humanity committed on the territory of the State of Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, from at least the 8th of October 2023, read the statement. Israel, like all states, has a right to take action to defend its population. That right, however, does not absolve Israel or any state of its obligation to comply with international humanitarian law. Notwithstanding any military goals they may have, the means Israel chose to achieve them in Gaza, namely, intentionally causing death, starvation, great suffering, and serious injury to body or health of the civilian population, are criminal, it continued. The prosecutor has officially charged Israeli leadership with the starvation of civilians, cruel treatment, murder, attacks against civilian populations, persecution, and other inhumane acts as crimes against humanity, punishable by international law. The development comes amid increased violence in Gaza, as Israel continues to hit largely civilian areas and threaten an expanded operation in Rafah. The Palestinian Health Ministry has reported over 100 Palestinian deaths in the past 24 hours due to increased Israeli attacks. Doctors Without Borders has reported that Al Auda Hospital, located near the Jabalia refugee camp, has run out of drinking water. Critical humanitarian aid crossings at Rafah and Kerem Abu Salem remain blocked. Since the outbreak of violence on October 7th, Israeli attacks on Gaza have resulted in 35,000 deaths and 79,000 injuries. On the 13th, Israel alleged the death toll was far lower, offering their own lowball estimate of casualties for the first time since the war began. Many have taken to social media to highlight the historical significance behind the arrest warrants while commenting on the damage such allegations could inflict on Israel and its closest allies' dwindling power and prestige. The ICC has issued arrest warrants against Netanyahu and Israel's defense minister. Israel's reputation has been absolutely shattered since October 7th. To a whole generation, the Jewish state will forever be synonymous with brutality and genocide, said conservative influencer Keith Woods on X/Twitter. If, according to the ICC, top Israeli officials are guilty of such grievous crimes as extermination, murder, and intentionally attacking civilians, what is the criminal responsibility for other countries' top officials who armed, supplied the perpetrators? Asked American journalist Michael Tracy, also on X/Twitter. The ICC prosecutor says Netanyahu and Gallant are criminally responsible for seeking to exterminate the people of Gaza, including by cutting off food and water. Time then to arrest Western leaders like Biden and Sunak, who've actively helped Israel carry out these crimes against humanity, said award-winning journalist Jonathan Cook. Now let's get down to why this is important. The arrest of top Israeli leadership over serious allegations of war crimes could result in a drastic shift in the geopolitical climate. While Israel, like Russia and the United States, is not a member of the ICC, the court has jurisdiction over Gaza, occupied East Jerusalem, and the West Bank, following the Palestinian leaders' acceptance of the Rome Statute in 2015. The ICC, headquartered in The Hague, prosecutes individuals for severe crimes under international law, including war crimes and genocide. Both Israel and South Africa are signatories to the United Nations Genocide Convention, which mandates member states to prevent and punish acts of genocide. This treaty defines genocide as acts intended to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. The ICC's actions reflect an ongoing international effort to address alleged war crimes and hold accountable those responsible amid one of the most severe conflicts in recent history.
This concludes the free version of the Justice Report Weekend Review. Thank you for listening. To gain access to the full version of this recording, please consider becoming a paid subscriber to the Justice Report's website, Substack, or Odyssey channel, and keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Independent journalism is often a difficult, time-consuming effort, and every interaction, share, and financial donation you make in support of our efforts here at the Justice Report helps keep the wheels spinning at a time when fact-based information is constantly under attack. With no corporate paymasters or political interest groups funding our operation, we rely solely on the support from readers and listeners like you. Thank you once again. We'll see you next week.